Now, we are chosen because we've accepted the calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. God didn't choose us because we're special. God chose us because we accepted the calling, because we accepted His way. We accepted His requirement for diligence. God called Him because we're putting other things aside to focus on Him. Now, in the early days when we first started teaching, establishing the kingdom of God, after I learned it, I practiced it for probably close to 10 years before I started teaching it. And then I started teaching it to all my ABC leaders. At that time, I had like 12 ABC churches. And they had the most wonderful, wonderful testimonies. They go to other churches and do exactly what Carol did, except they would do it by establishing the kingdom. And remember, you only want to establish a kingdom, you only want to release an anointing if the people are speaking the word of God. And speaking of speaking the word of God, one place where it was not spoken was in a song that I really like, which was the third to last song, Song to My King, which we all sung and loved it. Place in the area says, I don't have much. We don't say that. Unless you want to have not have much. We don't say that. You have what you say. Whether you're singing it or speaking it, you will have what you say. Okay? So, listen to the words of the song. No matter how anointed they are, no matter how wonderful they are, it doesn't mean they're perfect. There's only one being perfect, and His name is Jesus Christ. So, what I do in that song is I said, I do have much. Right? I take the do and stretch it out. I do have much. I have great much. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have all the much I need. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Okay, that was the first quiz. Some people know English, huh? You know, people have come here over the years from far parts of California, from other states, and from other countries to be here for a three-day weekend. Just to be here for 3 days. People have done that. You know, we had revival here for 3.5 years. You know, in a revival, a longer service, unplanned service, was 14 hours. We started a regular 1 hour service in the morning and went 14 hours. We're not playing games here, as you all know. So, since we're not playing games here, time for the second quiz. Everybody needs paper and pencil or pen. If you need paper, we have paper right here. If you need paper, raise your hand. Somebody will give you paper. I'm recycling paper. So all these sheets here, all these sheets have one side blank. I had a partner one time, and I thought he was the world's cheapest man. He managed the companies. So there were two companies, and in the second company, I was a one-quarter owner. There were four of us. In the first company, he was the major owner, and that company spun off the second company. And you know, in those days, they used to use adding machines. See, I'm not as young as you think I am. They used to use adding machines. You all know what adding machines are? And they have this paper, a paper that comes out of it, and you type it, and it puts the numbers on the paper. Most of the numbers end up being on the right side. Am I correct? It's a long roll of tape, like a roll of toilet paper, but it's not toilet paper, okay? Now, I've heard that people would take it, roll it backwards, and do it twice. I thought, that's, you know, what the heck, you know, that takes a lot of effort to do that. That's not what this man did. He used it four times. Left, right, front, and back. Four times. No, this is before the days when they're trying to save paper. He was trying to save money. No, saving money is a good thing. We have to be good stewards of God's money. So if you need paper, here's some recycled paper. The back half you can use. I promise you, we will not use it four times. Okay, who needs paper? Sarah, can you do this to me, please? Just raise your hands when you get paper, okay? And a pen? Okay, the first question. Everybody ready? The first question, on your paper, put your name on it. Ah. I will tell you afterwards. But put your name on it, because I want you to see your name beside it. And I'm going to give you 3 minutes. And in 3 minutes, I want you to write down from memory, book, chapter, and verse, every scripture that basically says you can do it, or you can have what you want. Every scripture that tells you you can do it, or you can have what you want. You put book, chapter, and verse, and a couple letters to identify the fact that you know it. You don't have to write out the whole verse. Okay? Maybe put the key word from the verse. So 3 minutes. Okay, that's it. Now, when we edit this tape, you may take out the blank spaces, but leave everything else in. So just shorten the blank space. We don't need 3 minutes of blank space. Okay, put a line under what you've written. Count them up, put the number below it. Now, telling you about being a good steward of small things. The man I told you about, the company we started, he sold it. I left it after a number of years for some personal reasons. The company went on. He sold it a few years ago. I don't know, 10, 15 years, a few years to me, for a little bit under $90 million. They didn't all come from the adding machine tape. Okay, let's leave my staff at first. Don't answer. No, okay, for people who are not on my staff, who would like to volunteer what the number you have is? Notice I said the word volunteer. Who wants to volunteer the number? Now, if nobody volunteers, I'm going to call in people. So if you love your neighbors, you might volunteer. Nobody's going to volunteer. Nobody loves their neighbor. Bill, you're a gentleman and scholar. See what? Bill is going to save all your bacon, okay? Okay. And if you're Jewish, you're going to save your skin. Okay, William, the conqueror. How many did you? Four. Okay, four. Thank you very much. Four is reasonable. Did any of the other people whose bacon and skin Bill saved do more than four? Okay, we got a champion. Oh, I see your hand back there. What did you do? You did six? Good. So we had seven, six, and four. Okay, those are all good numbers. Now, among our staff, does anybody want to volunteer a number? Leave Pastor Matthew out of it first. anybody want to volunteer a number among the staff? You don't have to. You want to volunteer a number? Seven, okay. Penny did seven. James? Eight, very good. Okay. Pastor Matthew, did you do more than five? How many did you do? Seven, really? Wow, okay, awesome. Awesome. Yes. Husband and wife did seven. Well, very good. Okay. Now, you know that no matter how long you stay in a garage, it won't make you a car. Is that true? No matter how long you stay in church, doesn't really make you a victorious Christian. In fact, it doesn't even make you a Christian. You can be in church for 40 years and not be a Christian. But assuming you're saved in your church, it doesn't make you anything but a person who goes to church with a slightly renewed mind. Your mind will be slightly renewed, but you'll forget most of it. And the renewing of the mind is just the beginning. The spiritual power is not in the mind. It's in the heart. Now, when you all answered a while ago, it came out of your heart. To some extent, out of your mind, because there's a memory. So, today we are reteaching Psalm 91, Abiding in Him. Psalm 91, Abiding in Him. because it was meant to be very different, because it has been so very different so far, we're calling it Abiding Him Part 2. It's the exact same outline. Psalm 91, Abiding Him. Abiding in Him. So abiding in Him is like being in the garage. But isn't a garage just going to change you? So what's going to change you is abiding in Him, which means abiding in His Word. You can't abide in Him if you don't abide in His Word. So we're going to take the same quiz again. But this time you have it's an open book. This time you can use your Bible. We're going to give you another 3 minutes. And this time you can use your Bible and see how many more you can add. All I want are the additions. When you give me the new number, I don't want to hear what you did before. Just tell me the additions. At least this point in time. So open book, see how many you can come up with. Oh, you're trying to find scripture that says, I can do it, I can have it. Prayer that says, God answers your prayer. This is for an individual, not for example, Matthew. Matthew 18, 19 is not one, because it takes two people. One person. That you can do it, you can have it. Okay? You can have whatever you pray for. I assume that everybody here got at least one. Because if you didn't get Mark 11, 24, you need to see me after services. Okay? So, scriptures that say the same thing as Mark 11, 24, essentially. And again, for those on the internet, we're all the same. So, same quiz for you. Open book, using your Bible. Not your notes. If you have the answers all done already, you can't use that. Come up with how many scriptures that basically says the same thing as Mark 11, 24. Okay, that's good. I have a friend, haven't seen him in a long time. His name is David. And many of you know Keith Moore, who is really quite famous. He was Keith Moore's mentor. And David and I did 3 crusades together overseas. We did multiple ones here. I started helping and ended up setting up services and doing services together. And then he started participating in my services. Keith Moore's first public speaking was actually at one of our services. David tells a story where he was driving up a mountain road and there's sheer cliff on the side, just as narrow Tulian Highway. And he's passing this truck, and as he's passing the truck speed, the Lord suddenly said, smash the gas. And he slammed the gas down really hard. The car jumped up and took off, and it was a truck carrying lumber, full of lumber, held on by chains. And the chains broke. And all these humongous logs, trees basically, started rolling over right where he was and went right over the cliff. He missed it by a second. Okay. No, that comes from abiding in God. That comes from dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. Never has there been a time in the history of the world where people need it more. Why would I say that? Because you can look back on all the terrible times that have been up on the world. The Holocaust. Nero taking Christians and wrapping them with oil-soaked rags and putting them up on sticks and lighting them as candles to light up his gardens. All those terrible things that have been done up on the earth are nothing compared to what's coming upon the earth over the next few years. Why would I say that? Because Jesus said it. I'm quoting Jesus. Okay? Now, when all this is happening, it will be happening primarily, listen to me carefully, primarily to unbelievers and not to Christians. Just like today, much of the horror that's happening in different places in the world is happening to unbelievers. But some Christians are getting caught up. We have more Christians being martyred today than ever before. That's why I want you to abide in the secret place of the Most High God. That's why we're doing these exercises. Because what will see you through is your shield of faith, your sword of the Spirit, and your patience. And if you have the sword of the Spirit and you don't know where to find it, you're in big trouble. So today we are finding the sword of the Spirit. Bill found it in four places. Pastor James found it in eight places. The rest of you know how many places you found it in. If it's not part of your heart, so it comes out automatically, then when challenges come, you'll say, wow, I wonder if God can handle this one. How do I handle this one? You handle them all with Mark 11:24, or an equivalent scripture. You handle them all by being positioned in the glory of God, by dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God before you pull out the sword. You don't wait until a humongous challenge up in you. The bomb is going off and you're thinking, okay, let me put my armor on. Put on my shield. No, not my helmet. Put on my helmet. I grab my shield. I broke out of my life. By that time, in seconds, the bomb is gone. I affirm almost every single day. It's my goal to affirm it every day. Scriptures that go like this. In the name of Jesus, no chemical drug poison, no fire, no radiation, no explosion can harm me. They are neutralized in contact with my body and the bodies of my ABC family. In the name of Jesus, nothing, no evil from the kingdom of man, darkness, animal, or nature can harm me or my ABC family. In the name of Jesus, no evil of earth, wind, fire, and I don't mean the band, no evil of earth, wind, fire, you know, the guy who owned that, owned the rights to it and managed them from a legal point of view, business point of view, was a friend of mine. Okay? No, I don't even know, I've never even heard them play. I know nothing about them. No evil of earth, wind, and fire. Earth, wind, fire, water, or the heavens can harm me, my house of position, house positions, and the same for all my ABC members. I do them every single day. I try to do them every single day. Once in a while, I miss. Because I'm not waiting until lumber starts coming off the truck before I'm starting my praying. So, by now you should have had your numbers totaled. So, the number I want is the number you just added. Again, we do it the same way. And I know the non-staff have a champion in Bill, but maybe somebody else will step up to the plate this time. Who wants to volunteer the number they found? And the non-staff, who wants to volunteer the number they found? Wow. You know, if I have to call on somebody, it won't be Bill. Okay, good girl. I'm proud of you. Charmaine.
I found six.
Found six. That's very good, honey. Very good. Six is very good. She found six. She found six. That means six more, right?
Yes.
That's what found means, okay? To me, anyway. Okay, she found six. Anybody can beat six? Okay, so we have a champion. Good lady. Very wonderful. Now, in my stop, excluding Pastor James and excluding Pastor Matthew, in my stop, does anybody want to volunteer how many they found? Nobody wants to volunteer, huh? Okay, Pastor Matthew, how many did you find? Six more. Okay, very wonderful. James, how many did you find? So 5 and 8 is 13, and 6 and 7 is 13. Very wonderful. Very wonderful. I did it myself for myself this morning. I got around 10. My fingers got it mixed up, so it's 9 or 10 or 11, somewhere around there. The first go around. The first go around. Then when I looked up someone that I knew, I just had to go find them. I found them maybe another 8. Okay? So, I jotted down some of them, okay? If you want them, I jotted down some of them here. John 14:13 and 14. That's two. John 15:7. John 15:7. John 16:23. Matthew 17:20. Matthew 17:20. Matthew 21:22. Matthew 9:29. Mark 11:23 and 24. Mark 5:36. Mark 5:36. Mark 9:23. Luke 1:37. Luke 17:6. Those are the ones I jotted down for one reason or the other, okay? Primarily, I jotted some of them down because I knew the scriptures, but I needed to reinforce the actual book, chapter, and verse for some of them, okay? I wrote in Mark 11:23 and 24 because I want to make sure I didn't forget to tell you. It has happened. Could happen. There are more, okay? We're not going to go over them. What is the point? The point is, you're in the military, have your weapon cleaned, assembled, and ready to work. Loaded, okay? I don't know how you load a sword, but load it, okay? I guess we load it by putting it in our heart, right? By loading it in our heart, okay? Load a sword into your heart, okay? Sharpen it. Thank you. Sharpen your sword. That's very good. Let me explain to you, really, okay? Let me tell you what I'm doing. Let me tell you, my life is very simple. My relationships are very simple. I try to live all my relationships so that if a person I interact with, no matter how occasionally, if they were raptured or disappeared or captured by Martians, or whatever happened to people when they disappear, I'd be comfortable with it. I wish I could have, would have, should have. That's no part of me. This could have, would have, should have has no part of me. It's demonic, has no part of me. And I live my life so that doesn't happen. On the day my mother passed away, I went to work. And because I went to work, I eventually saved a Jewish man, a millionaire Jewish man. Now, the scripture says, it's not a scripture I use very often, so I can't even tell you book, chapter, and verse. That basically, if you have a message and you don't deliver it, and blood is shed, the blood is upon you. But if you deliver the message and blood is shed, the blood is upon them. So I'm telling you all, I'm doing my very best to get you all ready and to keep you here until Jesus returns. That's my job. That's my calling. That's my apostolic calling. That's why I'm here. To get first this church and then as many people as can be reached through the internet to be prepared for the times ahead and to be here when Jesus returns. My job is now to put it out. Once I put it out, what you do with it is up to you. I'm telling you, the time is very short. And somebody sent me an email saying that they're waiting for me to tell them, they were listening, they're waiting for me to tell them when Jesus is coming back over the next 5 years. I did not say that. I said, Jesus is not coming back over the next 5 years. He is not coming back over the next 5 years. Okay, that's what I said. I did say I know when he's coming back. I don't know the hour. I don't know the day. But I know the period. I know the season. I know the year. And I would say with 100% confidence, the year plus or minus 1 year. I've known that since 1983. So, my job is to get you prepared. This is a garage. Sitting in the garage isn't going to make you prepared. What you do with it, here and on the internet, totally up to you. What's the difference? The difference is I'm moving from a pastoral into an apostolic office more and more. The pastoral is I'll be chasing you down, changing your diapers, spoon feeding you the word of God, praying over you, doing affirmation to you. Less and less I'm doing that. God started me moving me out of that 11 years ago. But I did not know what he was doing until the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years. And he was cutting off all these things. And I'm wondering, why is he doing this? We have not spoken at another church in the United States that was an ABC church since 2005. That's true? Or 2007? 2005. Seven? Well, 2005 or 2007. Since 2007. And internationally, we have not spoken at a church or at a conference internationally since 2009. When I quit speaking at churches, we had 32 churches waiting for us to go speak at. Internationally, we had many countries waiting for us to come speak. We still do. We still keep getting requests. When are you coming? When are you coming? You said you're coming. I promised to go back to 2 countries only. I was wise enough not to make a promise to the other countries. I promised 2 countries only. I'm going back. I'm going back to the Philippines, and I'm going back to Trinidad. At least one time each. That's it. That's the only promise I made. I want you abiding in the secret place of the Most High God. Example is a mentor for my family. Her name is Vicky. Vicky was driving back from a service across a major river. Could have been the Mississippi, I don't know. Across a major river. And the direct part goes across this big bridge back to her hotel. She was coming from, I think, a smaller town. And the Lord said, don't take the big bridge. Drive around, go a few miles upstream, and go across another bridge. So she did. While she was doing, the big bridge fell down. A lot of people were killed. You have to be where God wants you to be. In the original teaching, we use some really major and famous examples. For example, we use the Twin Towers example, the worst plane disaster in history, and the great big earthquake in Mexico City, are on version 1. That's my recollection, anyway. But today, I'm toning it down to more normal lifestyle things. Pastor Karen, who was up here speaking earlier. Was traveling through gorilla infested country. Not that kind, but this kind, gorilla, okay? And the Lord spoke to her and said, don't go that way. Go the way that everybody fears to go, more or less through the boonies and the mountains, because it's where the gorillas were very strong. If you take the main road where the gorillas are not so strong, don't go that way. So she led this caravan of people through the thing, and they were just petrified. They thought she lost their mind. They got all the way through and got across the border to where they're going, and the people were amazed. How did you get here? The gorillas have cut down the main road. How did you get through? They only got through. If they'd gone the main road, the gorillas would have captured them. A man that should be live streaming right now, I don't know if he is. He's a legend among the Messianic churches. He was in Jerusalem. He ministered in the Arab countries for 10 years. He was in Jerusalem. And every day, you know, in overseas countries, every day people go shopping. They don't store food in a refrigerator that we do. And so he and his wife were going to go to the market to do the shopping. And the Lord said, no, don't go. Don't go today. So they stayed home. And that's when they set off huge bomb explosion in the market and triggered, I guess, must have been the first intifada. Okay? Since then, that's when all the terrorist bombings have become staggering, for want of a better word. So Psalm 91, abiding in him. By a show of hands. No, let's try it the other way around. Will you all please stand up? On the internet, you can do this too. Everybody stand up. Psalm 91, as most of you have guessed from the question, is in the book of Psalms. Called by some people, Peace Psalms. Okay? Now, if you know Psalm 91 and know what it says, remain standing. If you don't know Psalm 91 and don't know what it says, please sit down. Oh, nobody's sitting down? Is it because of embarrassment or because you know it? No, if you no, we haven't got there yet. If you know what it's about, remain standing. Okay. If you have Psalm 91 memorized by heart, if you can say it, remain standing. Otherwise, sit down. The whole thing. If you can say all of Psalm 91, if you can say all of Psalm 91, because if you remain standing, I might call on you to say it. Anybody want to change their mind and sit down? Very good. Now the people are standing who know Psalm 91. How many of you have a plan to say it at least once a day? If you have a plan to say it once a day, remain standing. If you don't have a plan for you to say it once a day, please sit down. Okay, last question. How many of you who are standing basically understand? I understand that one day you may work 24 hours of the whole day and you haven't got a moment. Okay? On the other hand, if that occurs 3 or 4 times a week, it doesn't count. If once a month, once a year, you're so busy, you don't say it, that doesn't count. How many of you, if you're standing and you say it every day, remain standing. If you miss every once in a while, too frequently, sit down. If you miss every once in a while, right? Like what? Remember, every once in a while is like what? I think if you miss once a week, you should sit down. Maybe if you miss once a month, you should sit down. Okay. Of the ones who are remaining standing, well, okay. That basically you all do it every day, you really never miss. Wonderful. We have 2, 4, 5 people who do that. And we knew about miracles from all 5. The Lord is blessing all 5 in many areas of life. These 5 are our examples. Okay, thank you very much for playing the game. Please be seated. 6, beg your pardon. Beth was behind somebody, I didn't see her. 6, okay, Beth. Thank you, Beth. I'm sorry I missed that. 6. We have 6 people. That's very wonderful. Next time we do this, I'd like to see you all standing at the end of the exercise. And I thank you all for your honesty. I understand that some of you may have another protection psalm that you use more than Psalm 91. I understand that. Okay? And so maybe some of you sat down and were using another protection psalm other than Psalm 91. I am totally sold on Psalm 91. I would say everybody should pray Psalm 91 every day. And if you don't have time to pray it every day, then say the following. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare all the promises of Psalm 91 over me and my family and my church this day. Okay? Or maybe this day and for the next 48 hours. Maybe even this day and every day. But just because one time you say this day and every day doesn't mean you don't have to do it the next day. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I who, this has been rewritten to be an affirmation. I who dwell in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I who dwell in the secret place, I suppose people could teach on this for years. For me, it means mostly, I dwell and remain in the anointing. I remain in the anointing. I remain in His presence. If I'm in His presence, then in His presence is fullness of joy. And Pastor Michael is always telling me, Pastor, smile some more, smile more. So obviously, I'm not as joyful as I would like to be. Unlike my wife, who's joyful all the time. So dwelling is being in there, not just doing it and coming back out. It's dwelling in the kingdom of God. It's dwelling in His presence. It's dwelling in His word. 24/7. And you can tell if you're dwelling in his presence. You can tell if you're dwelling in a secret place. Because of your three thermostats. Joy, peace, and patience. If you're losing your joy, your peace, or your patience, you're not dwelling in a secret place of the Most High God. And when you do that, you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No, you know, when the president goes out, he abides under the shadow of a whole army of Secret Service agents. I don't know how many go with him, but a lot of them. You know, a single plane trip for him, I think, costs like $2 million. Just for a plane trip to go someplace. So he abides under the shadow of the U.S. Secret Service. That's good. But I'd rather abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it's free. Yeah. So we dwell there. We dwell in that secret place. We dwell in that anointing. We dwell in that presence. But that's not enough. Just went to the funeral of a friend of mine who did it all the time. Because they never went down to verse 3. Beg your pardon, verse 2. I will say of the Lord. What determines what happens to you is what you say. What you say. What you say. He got into, my friend, got into this, what's the expression they use when you're saturated? Soaking. He soaked in the presence of God all the time. Of the people I know, I'd rate him number one. He's the only person I know who goes to bed, with an earphone in his ear, listening to worship music. 24/7, he soaks in worship music. And he's dead. Why? Because you need to say of the Lord, you're my refuge and my fortress, my God, and will I trust. Did he do all these things? Absolutely. But he didn't say it. And he never continued learning. His ministry came to a point where he was very successful, and he quit learning. He never went through one single ABC school. His affirmations were very limited, and he rarely came to ABC. Yet he was a world evangelist. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Now, when you do these two things, dwell there and say it. Dwell there and say it. When you confess with your mouth, and in your heart dwells the understanding that God raised Jesus from the dead. When you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus, then you shall be saved. Saved from every area of challenge. In this case, we're talking about challenges of destruction. Exact same process. You dwell there. It's in your heart. You can't dwell there if it's not in your heart. You dwell there. It's in your in your heart is why you're dwelling there. You dwell there, and then you speak it. Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you shall confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If you can confess in your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has risen from the dead, you shall be saved. If you shall confess with your mouth that God is your refuge, your fortress, and all the rest of this, while in your heart the anointing is there, then all this applies to you. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wing shall I trust. Covering you with his feathers and under his wing, that's dwelling with him. That's abiding with him. That's being in his presence. Abiding with him. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. When you're under his feathers, you can take his truth and as a shield of faith, and block every attack. And you can take his word, his truth, as a sword and defeat every enemy. When you say and live Psalm 91 verses 1 through 4, then you can truly declare, I shall not be afraid. Period. Give some examples here. I shall not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flies by day. Why? Because God will lead you not into temptation. God will lead you not into temptation. At one time, I had a small staff. I was in the corporate world. I had a small staff. I forget, 5, 6 people. And we were all booked to fly from LA to San Diego on PSA, I believe, to do a demonstration, computer demonstration to a major bank that was headquartered there. And it just didn't feel right to me. And so I decided to cancel it. I postponed the trip. I said, we're not going to go this week. We'll go next week. And I canceled it. The flight we all canceled off crashed. And almost everybody died. It crashed. I don't remember how many people died. I seem to think almost everybody. Maybe everybody. Okay. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. The terror at night is what you don't know. That nameless thing. Oh, there's something in the room. Then tell her to get out. You know? Look, I'm getting ready to go outside to work. It was last week. I'm getting ready to go outside to work. And my wife comes in. Honey, it's raining. And I got irritated. I said, well, stop it. And she went away. Rain! You know what, Sarah yelling at you. Okay, let me tell you. She yelled at the devil and the rain. Rain stopped. Didn't come back for like 2 or 3 days. It just stopped. There's clouds all over. Clothes all over. Never rain for 2 or 3 days. Don't let Sarah yell at you, boy. I'm glad that she's full of joy because I don't want her yelling at me. Let me tell you that. Now for the pestilent that walks in darkness. Okay. A lot of plagues and pestilence are coming. Doctors don't know what to do with them. The superbugs and the ones they're going to create because they're meddling with genes, mutation, and so forth. This is what takes care of them. Now for the pestilent that walks in darkness, now for the destruction that wastes at noonday, 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I've made the Lord, who's my refuge. Refuge is a place you go in to hide. It's a place where you dwell during bad times. It's all about dwelling in. He's my refuge. The good thing about this refuge is you can take it anywhere. You don't have to crawl into some hole in the ground and put it in after you. Your refuge goes anywhere with you because he's the Lord God of Israel. Okay? Because he has made the Lord, who's my refuge, the Most High, my habitation, your dwelling place. You're dwelling in him. If he's your habitation, you're dwelling there, then how much time do you spend there? How much time do you spend in the kingdom? We should be spending 100% of our time in the kingdom of God. Even if you're working for a job where God did not give you and God doesn't want you there, you can work as unto the Lord while you're waiting for him to give you the job that he wants you to have. So no matter where you are, you can take one step toward him and say, Lord, I know I'm in the wrong job. Please give me the job you want. Or please give me a job. But while I'm here, I'm going to live my life working, live my life volunteering, live my life studying your word, working unto you. And then he's obligated to pay you because you're working for him. Even the Most High, my habitation, my dwelling place. That's where you dwell. 24 hours a day. There shall no evil befall me. Neither shall any plague come near my dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. But you gotta be doing the first two verses. No evil shall befall me. Nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt me. Luke 10:19. A long time ago, in fact, I think it was the first crusade I did oversee with the same David I mentioned earlier. We're all going to Jamaica to do a crusade, and a lot of my family actually went because they all like David a lot. And so they all booked a flight on an airline called Eastern. And they all left from here to go to Jamaica by Eastern, changing through Miami. They left 2 days before me. I said, I don't feel that's the right flight to take. And I left 2 days later. I landed in Miami, and they were all sitting in the airport waiting. They had gone on strike. The airlines they were booked on had gone on strike. They were negotiating strikes. Or maybe they're flying limited planes. And they were waiting for them to work out the travel arrangements for the next leg to Jamaica. I met them there. I was still 20 years. They were all there. I caught my flight and left a couple hours later, left them there. No evil shall befall me. Not even a strike of any airlines. Not even snow. Snowing in my transportation, right? Not even the highway. Because your God is bigger than all that. But you can't let it wait for the last minute. I'm not saying things don't suddenly happen because of a mistake you made, or even when you think you didn't make a mistake. The Lord will lead you not into temptation. But if somehow you happen to be in it, he shall deliver you from all evil. But the best way is not to be led into the temptation. The delivering from evil is plan B. Okay? Deliver me from all evil. For the Lord shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all his ways. They shall bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. That's what the believers need to live in that place, and then they won't fall. And even when dizziness comes, they'll rebuke it. You don't need to fall, but you got to be dwelling here and sing it. I shall tread up on the lion and the adder. I think I skipped the verse. They shall bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against the stone. I shall tread up on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall I trample under feet. Because I've set my love up in the Lord. That's it. God has to be number one in your life. You love him. You have to understand that you know that you love God more than anything. Therefore, will the Lord deliver me? The Lord will set me on high because I have known his name. I shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will answer me. By the way, this one we could have used, right? On our quiz earlier, we could use this one, Psalm 91:15. I shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will answer. Okay? The Lord will be in trouble. Did anybody have that one? Wonderful. Oh, I'm proud of all of you. Awesome. And of the ones who had it, I think three of you were actually standing up at the very end when we did Psalm 91. Very good. I shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will answer me. The Lord will be with me in trouble. The Lord will deliver me and honor me. With long life will the Lord satisfy me. Now, if I take you to lunch, and I say, eat as much as you want. Whatever you want, just eat until you're satisfied. Who ends the lunch? You do. Not me. I'm the provider. But you're going to eat until you're satisfied. God is the provider, but we're going to have long life until I'm satisfied. I'll be satisfied when it's not even true. I won't even consider being satisfied until I pass Methuselah. Okay? Because to pass Methuselah, No, that's not true. What I was going to say is not a true statement. I used to think it was a true statement, but Lord has taught me more. Okay. Ah, let me break it into a truer statement. To pass Methuselah, all you have to do is be alive when Jesus returns. How is that? I don't mean alive in a rapture. I mean alive here on earth. The Lord, with long life with the Lord, satisfy me and show me salvation. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's a carte blanche. That's a blank check. You can do anything with that. Whosoever abides in me, whosoever abides in him sins not. That's where the cleansing comes in. That's where we are in the wave of the Spirit. The wave of cleansing coming to the point where we're choosing not to sin. Whoever sins has not seen him nor known him. Okay? Once you are a spirit, once you're born again, your spirit doesn't sin anymore. So once you're born again, you know him and you don't sin. But the whosoever abides in him, see, the second part has to do with him abiding in us. Right? When you're born again, he abides in us. If he abides in us, you don't sin. So that's how you know a spirit is born again, is a spirit doesn't sin, because God is abiding there. But the spirit is living in a body. That body has to abide in him, starting with the heart. When your heart is full of Christ, you won't sin. Until your heart is full of Christ, Ephesians 3 tells us that when we're full of love and understand love, then we'll be filled with the fullness of God. When your heart is full of the Word of God, nothing but the engrafted Word in your heart. When your heart is full of the anointing, when your heart is full of Christ, you won't sin. And that's what we're all trying to do. Get to that place where we walk so much in love, Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. Where we walk so much in love that we understand the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, then we are filled with the fullness of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.